told you.
Here's the intro. Oh, I can do it. I know it by heart. Good. Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A at my low sea level and intergalactic furry studios, we alter your locus aureus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of sadism out of your head. Can you feel it, Jeremy? Can you feel it, Michael W. Dean?
Ah, it burns! It burns!
Oh, I can feel it, Jim.
Yeah.
And Bipcot, no government license, is awesome. Check it out, bipcot.org. So what's going on?
I'm ordering things on Amazon and having them shipped to James Babb. I'm going to hit place your order, and I'm spending $49.23 on batteries for the Fiend the Homeless radios that came today. I figured, I'm really talking to one guy. No, I got hundreds of them. There's a lot of radios, and I want to have extras so Steve can carry them around the neighborhood, and when the homeless run out of batteries, he can give them a couple. So, Fiend the Homeless. Does someone want to explain Fiend the Homeless?
I guess I could. I don't know too much about it, but I do know that it's a program to get people who are homeless a little radio so that they can listen to the Fiends.
Yeah.
And they have MP3s, and I guess there's a station out there that plays Fiends 24/7.
12 hours a day at least. Yeah, it's near this horrible neighborhood called Kensington, which is full of people who don't do very well in life. It's a government-controlled neighborhood, welfare recipient, crackhead, alcoholic. So
isn't that most of Philly anyway?
Yeah, and Jersey, okay. And New York, and Long Island.
Yep.
Don't get me started on New York. You don't want to get me started on New York.
Yeah. I've been joking about this for years, about, like, since before I was a libertarian. Like, when I had a podcast back in 2006 with my wife, I was like, I came across the idea of uncontacted tribes, which are small pockets of natives in, not a few in Africa, but mostly in islands and some in South America, that have never had contact with Western people. And they, they speak languages that are dead in the rest of the world. They can die if they shake hands with a Westerner because they don't, the common cold can kill them. They don't have any, haven't built up any immunities to it. And there's some great pictures, if you Google uncontacted tribes, of them all painted red in the rainforest shooting arrows at a helicopter where someone's taking pictures from the helicopter. And I wanted to, put my podcast on MP3 players and give it to those people somehow. But James Babb pointed out that that is violating the prime directive of Star Trek, which we all should live by, which is basically do no harm to other worlds. So, but the semi-uncontacted tribes of Kensington, the crackheads, the alcoholics, the unsure, the unhomed, we want to bring them the Freedom Fiends. And so far, I've raised about $90 in donations for it, and I've spent about $250 out of my pocket, including what I just spent. And please donate. Go to the Freedom Fiend site. Go to the blog. We'll put it in the show notes tonight, too, and I will tweet it when we go to a break. But we want money. We want to get money for this. Now, somebody today said, some idiot, like everyone I know who knows him in Philly says this guy's just an idiot who just sits around criticizing people all day, criticized us heavily for this. He was like, well, you shouldn't be doing that. The homeless would much prefer food and clothing to radios. Here's the thing. Shut the F up. You're not doing anything. And it's a critique we're getting a bit of. Like, a lot of people get it. A lot of libertarians get it. A lot of Freedom Fiends get it. Friends, fans, whatever. We do need more money to keep this going. But, basically, if you're doing the work, if we're paying for this, people are donating to pay for it, and, Steve Miller and James Babb and this guy Al, who's in the area, they're going to take time out, they're going to go out in the cold, they're going to talk to these people, and they're going to give them these radios and MP3 players, explain how to use them, and some of them are emergency radios, like hand crank, don't need a battery, have a flashlight, have a siren, and can charge cell phones. We have two or three of those. We're going to give those to, like, the smart, you know, kind of together homeless people. And then they can start a business of charging other people's cell phones for a cigarette or a half hit of crack or whatever. And also, James and Steve are going to bring coffee and soup to these people. And I'm thinking of chipping in $10 for some whiskey to have the option of Irishing up the coffee or this Irish soup if they want it. So I really, and I don't see it. I've been homeless, and I'll tell you this, in any city in America, the homeless in America, they don't do well and they have crappy lives, but they do better than the home, like they do better than people who work in South America or Africa a lot of times. You know, there, you will not starve to death in America being homeless if you're in a big city. There's always a soup kitchen, there's always a church, you can always get at least one meal a day, usually a hot meal, sometimes more than one meal a day. And, you know, you can get free clothes. You're freezing if you're out on the street, but you're also bored. And I have been homeless. A lot of people who are criticizing this, A, have never been homeless, and B, don't do any homeless outreach of their own. Don't put any money into it. You have no reason to criticize if you're not donating to the Freedom Teens, basically, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Right, guys?
Yeah. Yeah, and they, yeah, because they get all this stuff, what they really want when they ask for money is not money for food or money for, you know, they're asking money
it
for
crack.
Alcohol. You know, or
maybe there should be an outreach that buys crack and alcohol for the homeless. It would be far more popular than one with food, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. But we're in between. We want to give them entertainment and education. And somebody said, oh, they're just going to trade it all for crack. And I'm like, well, if they trade it for money for crack, whoever the homeless person they're trading it for money to is going to value it more and use it and listen to the shows. Our shows can teach a homeless person to fish. You know, you give a man a fish, he eats for a day. You teach a man to fish, he eats for a lifetime. You teach a man to be self-sufficient through the methodology of the Freedom Fiends, of listening to massive episodes of the Freedom Fiends. And you can become self-sufficient and break the cycle of poverty. So go to the Freedom Fiend site and find the Feed the Homeless thing and donate, please. It is not tax deductible because we're not government. We're covered by the BIPCOT license. We're not 501c3. And I do want to say this. The MP3 players, they have 100 episodes on them. And they're like awesome. Tiny. They're like the size of iPod Nanos. And since it plays them alphabetically, the first episode it plays is one that's almost all Jim Jesus for like the first half hour. So he should be really into this because that's what they're going to hear before they throw this at the wall and say, the CIA is inserting thoughts into my head through these.
So you're basically, this is kind of a hint to get me to give you some money for this, right?
Not only money for it. I just want you to be.
Oh, wait a minute. You want me to be in the ears of the homeless in Philly?
Yeah.
I want
you to go. You know, people say the Freedom Fiends are a cult. We're not. But I do want you to go to the airport with a can, Jim, and raise money for Feeding the Homeless. It doesn't have to come out of your pocket.
I'll be escorted from McCarran very quickly if you try doing that.
Yeah. Especially in Vegas. They don't like people who have money-making schemes other than the casinos there. I've heard that in Vegas, they'll kill you for robbing a bank. Like, they won't necessarily do that other places, but, like, you take money that doesn't belong to you there in any amount, and they just shoot you on sight.
I don't know if that's true, but I definitely know that on the Strip, you can't really be a vagrant on the Strip. They will escort you completely off the Strip.
And hand you a Freedom Fiends radio.
Yeah, I think they're like every once in a while you'll see one on the bridges, you know, the bridges that go over some of the streets.
Yeah,
and they're probably there for maybe an hour, and then the police come. And recently, I've been seeing police kind of just standing on those bridges, making sure they don't even collect there to begin with. So,
yep,
yeah,
can't be scaring away the tourists with the homeless people.
No, yeah, you can't do that, but you can let them put on a vest and hand out flyers for women of the night.
For women. Hey, it's good honest work.
That's what I want to take my recommendations from. A guy who can't even buy a woman.
Yeah.
Well, I was just gonna say my issue with the critics of this idea, I would take it even a step further. Even if they, because you know, you said you know they're not doing anything on their own. Even if they are, so what? They don't like what we're doing, you know. Yeah. Okay, great. Don't pay attention to it. Don't have anything to do with it. Don't donate. You know.
I think most of them are doing is voting for Bernie Sanders and then hoping he'll steal more money for the homeless. Well, but he'll really just make everyone homeless. And you know, It is not fair that 1% of America has 99% of the lead in their water in Michigan. I think Bernie Sanders should have a redistribution of lead, which they're already doing by the cops shooting us over and over and over. But, you know, we need more of it.
Yeah. By the way, did you see that Bernie Sanders thing on Saturday Night Live, the Curb Your Burn or Burn Your Enthusiasm?
No.
Oh, it's funny. It's the greatest thing. Yeah, it's great. Oh, it's fantastic. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the whole thing about, like, oh, like, you have to do my type of charity, otherwise it's bad, is always annoying. Like, if you want to feed the homeless, there are organizations you can give. So give to them, too.
If you
want
to feed the homeless, go to Freedom Fiends, go to Freedom, Twitter, freedomfiends.com, or Freedom Fiends on Twitter. And we need people to donate, and I am just going to keep talking about feeding the homeless until we get a donation for $50. I'm going to be like Reverend Dean Scott. Remember him?
No.
Oh, really? Televangelist back in the 80s. He's dead now, but his daughter took over his ministry and does it. I used to see this guy on TV like in the 80s, like when I was tripping, and be like, whoa, this is weird. And he's from Glendale, California, and he was... he looked like Santa Claus, like a skinny Santa Claus. He had a gray beard and gray hair. He was on TV. He had a really good band, unlike a lot of people on TV. Really ripping blues band. He played saxophone in the band. He was kind of like the Bill Clinton. He played saxophone and he smoked cigars on the air. And he would read letters. Sometimes he would sit down and read letters from viewers, and he would say, until I get $1,000 from Torrance, California, I'm just going to read these to myself. And he would sit there smoking a cigar and not talking and reading letters and occasionally laughing and throwing the letters on the ground for like an hour until he got the donation he was looking for. And I'm going to do that. We need $50 from Torrance, California. No, from anywhere. Or I'm just going to read my Twitter feed. How's that?
But your Twitter feed is fairly interesting, so especially with all the Cantwell goo on that.
Cantwell goo. Ugh.
I think I was permanently muted. He doesn't want to play with me anymore. I'm very sick.
Well, you know, that picture that we have of him in the women's lingerie, looking in the mirror with the speed on the mirror on the floor, the chicken on the chair for some reason, and the furry costume. Now, not a lot of people know this, but you used to live in his neighborhood and used to go party with him at his mother's house. And you went over there one night and saw through the basement window. This isn't a fantasy. You've seen this. And you described it to me, and I described it to Cantwell Goo, and he created that image.
Yeah, it's one of those things burned into my head. Some things you just can't forget.
I'm sorry. Okay, we'll be back after this trip to the market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Your sister had a ferret that stole my sister's.
No, it stole her pot. Like, anytime we had pot in the house and it was missing, we knew what would happen to it. It was in her back closet with some little chew marks in the bag.
I want to tell a story, a drug story. You ever do Dilaudid?
No.
Dilaudid's a hell of a drug. And this is like 25 years ago. It was like 25 years ago. It was, I used to know this. I had this neighbor in San Francisco. So when I was in San Francisco, I lived above a black barber shop. And anyone who's seen the movie knows that they just sell drugs out of those places. Like, my roommate got busted for pot, buying pot on Haight Street, buying it from a tie-dye undercover cop. You can tell the cops, because they wear tie-dyes, but they're kind of like beefy and fat at the same time. They look like they lift weights while eating cheeseburgers.
Hello, fellow children.
No hippies. Yeah. So when my roommate got busted, they were like, you know, where do you live? They let him go with a warning. Warning. A stern warning. But they asked him where he lived, and he said his address. And he's like, oh, you live above that barber shop, huh? And he's like, yeah. And he says, we've been watching that place for months, man. People go in and out all day, and no one gets their hair cut. So there was a guy that hung out there who was an OG dope fiend, F-E-E-N. He was this black dude that was a Vietnam vet, and this is like 20 years ago, and he must have been, I don't know, he must have been 55 or 60, but he looked 80. And he was missing a leg, and he had phantom pain, and the doctor prescribed Dilaudid for it, for life. And this guy would sell his Dilaudid to us, and then he'd buy crack, which I hear is a hell of a drug. And I've been sober for almost 22 years, so this is old-timey stuff. But this stuff, man, it was like the little tiny white pills that looked... How come I can't start talking like a dope fiend, like an old black dope fiend when I tell these stories? But it's how your mind works when you're on these drugs. So he would sell me for $20, he'd sell me Dilaudid, a tiny pill that looked like a saccharin, little white thing. They would dissolve completely, unlike most pills. And this stuff, it was out of this world, man. So kids, don't take drugs. They're bad for you. So you got a story, Jim, right, about Porkfest?
Scooters. This is from what I understand. This is like a telephone story. So like someone had told it to someone, and then they told that story to me. So and then I'm going to be telling
purple monkey dishwasher.
Yeah. But there's a libertarian film that I've been critiquing on my YouTube channel called Alongside Night, and the director and the person who wrote the book, which is based off, which I hear is good, the movie's not, but the book, the author's name is J. Neil Shulman, and from what I understand, he was going to speak at Porkfest, and... He demanded from the Porkfest organizers, as a term of him speaking there, access to a Rascal scooter so that he could get up the hill when they take their big Porkfest attendee, you know, big picture of all the attendees, so he could be there. And they were like, you could find a way up the hill or something. And, whatever. And he was kind of making a fuss like, oh, you know who I am? They started doing the libertarian rank. I can't stand when people do this. But
old
try
people
to pull
that
libertarian
like,
rank and, yeah.
Yeah, old people that used to be somebody. You know, there are a few people in that same category who are like worse than him by far. Do you remember that page called like Verbally Abused by Jim Somebody? What was
me?
That?
That sounds like a page that should be made about me. There's plenty of
Jim
people
Davidson.
Who would join that group.
Jim Davidson. He's a guy that, like, you know, helped form the Libertarian Party and has been like libertarian longer than most of us have been alive, and is just, you know, no one. And at some point, got like beat up by the cops, and you know, like suffered for what he was doing, and then this whole new crop of like young, happy libertarians came around who like don't know who he is, don't know who Boston Tea Party is, don't know who Claire Wolf is, don't know who I am. You know, all the OGs. And, but this guy's really bitter, man. And he goes on Facebook and gets in like screaming fights, calling young, happy libertarian women like whores for no reason at all. And he's just mean to everybody because he used to be somebody. And, you know, here's the thing about like making a mark in the world. It ain't going to last forever, and you have to constantly reinvent yourself and constantly be doing something else. And you're only as good as your last show. You're only as good as what you did yesterday. People don't remember what you did 10 or 20 years ago. I was in a band. I say it a lot because I like talking about it, but I was in a band that was signed on Warner Brothers and toured the world, and we're like on our way to being stars. And then I messed it up with drugs. And I know people that were in that situation who all they do, they don't even play in a band anymore. They don't do talk radio. They don't write books. They don't make movies like me. They don't feed the homeless. They sit around in bars and drunk and fat and talk about that they were on a label 30 years ago. And that's kind of what some of these people do, man. And, you know, Alongside Night Guy does more than that. But when he complains about being criticized, like Jim criticized him, he sounds like one of those guys. Don't be that guy.
How much money I made that guy, so all the people going to watch that movie because of my reviews?
$37.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Yeah, Alongside Night is Prime eligible, so if you have Amazon Prime, it'll ship into you 2 days, so you can watch how bad it is before I can even finish my the last part of my review. So,
didn't you say that there are people having parties now because of you where they show Alongside Night and make fun of it, and it's making him money?
I hope so. I know that people have told me that they're watching it on Amazon Prime. I think maybe one person bought it or something. So I mean, like, I've given this movie more press than it's probably than it's received since it was on Alex Jones years ago. So.
And,
but I think we're gonna force him into like a Tommy Wiseau position where he has to like accept that it's bad and just enjoy everybody mocking it because people are starting to enjoy it.
I mean, the room shows on IFC at like 4 a.m. like 3 times a month. Man, that movie is making money because it's the worst movie ever made. The Room.
Yeah. Yep. I don't think it would ever really take off in mainstream because there's so many like libertarian things that's only really kind of
It's inside baseball.
Fun,
but
yeah.
So what did you say about his Rascal Scooter?
I don't think he has one, but he demanded that he have one when he went to Porkfest so he can get up the hill so he can take part in that big.
I don't know if I could make it up that hill from illnesses I have and stuff now, but. I mean, I wouldn't put it in writing and demand it. I would just, I'd show up at Forkfest and like 40 Fiends fans would hoist me on their shoulders with a big hurrah and carry me up that hill.
Just have a big crowd surfing thing going on.
we'll pass Michael to the
surf
top of
the director. Instead of a Q&A with the director, you could just surf the director. Yeah.
Sign me up. I'm going.
Yeah. So there's another, I was thinking about a couple other people that suffer from that. Like, I used to be somebody resting on their laurels, drunkenly on the road. There's some other guy, I can't remember his name, who, like 2 years ago, was listening to The Fiends and wrote me and said, you didn't fully correctly explain the derivation of the etymology of the term anarchist. It comes from the Greek and the Roman and the blah, 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 blah.
Don't care.
Guy didn't understand the majestic jackassery that is the Freedom Fiends. If you want to go to Libertarian College, you can go listen to Lou Rockwell and you can go listen to those other old guys. But if you want to, like, we're like the Beavis and Butthead. And, every school needs the smart professor, the smart teacher, and the Beavis and Butthead. And we are the Beavis and Butthead that make school fun. So everybody serves a purpose. But this guy was so adamant that, like, he knew and I was wrong. And he sent me this email that was so long, and he insisted that I bring him on the show to explain it. Like, demanded it. And he signed it with his name, and then, like, all these letters after his name, like, Master of Science and Literature from Chicago School. Like, he's Canadian, I think. I don't know. But it was, like, a bunch of stuff that was college stuff that none of it was PhD. None of it was that impressive. And then a bunch of other stuff, like, these are my letters, and this is why you should understand that I am the master over you intellectually. And I said, I'm not going to have you on my show, but I'll read this letter. And he's like, good. And I started reading the letter, and then just said, forget this. This guy's an idiot. I'm not going to read this. He's trying to pull a I'm smarter than you because I read. Because I read and you can't.
Yeah, and, I mean, there's been lots of times where I heard you say things and I'm like, I could go into an academic explanation about why this thing is wrong. And I love listening to those Mises lectures and all that stuff.
I correct myself. I was wrong often.
Yeah, but it's like, who really cares about the etymology?
I admitted I was wrong. I admitted I was wrong. I just made fun of the guy for his attitude. This guy, to this day, I haven't spoken to him since that, 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. This guy is still, like, he has me blocked, but people send me screenshots. He is still ranting about how the Freedom Fiends are evil and are ruining liberty. Wow. Like, dude. We talked once, like 4 or 3 years ago, and like this guy actually like goes to Porkfest. He goes to Michigan Peace and Liberty Festival. Like, you know, he's going to be around fiends, and he has been like saying how horrible we are for not worshiping his majestic beauty for so long that I don't know what's going to happen when he encounters fiends. I'm not saying there's going to be a fist fight. I'm just saying like he's not going to be invited to the orgies. You know,
the fiends orgies.
Some people just can't let go.
Can't do well.
That too. Well, no. See, it's funny when you started talking about this. I immediately thought of it kind of ties to like IP for me. It's like the people who are so the people that are so convinced that they're not going to have another good idea that they have to cling to the one that they have now. So that's why they have to use the power of the state. It's the same idea. It's like I had this thing once, this one time, and it was wonderful, and it's never coming back. So I have to make sure that everybody still knows about it, because otherwise you have
unofficially screwed. Read my movie, otherwise I'll shoot you.
I have an idea.
Dare you give me promotion?
You'll hear from my lawyers at the office of Smith & Wesson if you screen my movie. Smith
and, clearly you're a narc. Oil.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you're nobody at liberty until someone wants you dead and someone says you're a fed, and I've been called both a bunch, so, and you've been called both a bunch, right?
What's interesting is I ended up having like a conversation with the guy and with Neil, and he said that I made an offhand joke that alongside Night is a libertarian hate crime. You know, you get that, right?
Wow.
And he was like, libertarian hate crime, libertarians don't believe in hate crime. And it was just one of those Dax, you ever know those Dax, you ever see that movie Guardians of the Galaxy, the character Dax, who does not understand metaphors at all.
Like, I've seen like, the, you know, memes,
don't say a metaphor. It just goes over his head.
I get that
head.
A lot because we make these fiend. One of the fiends buttons says, "State speech is hate speech," and I made that up, and it's funny as hell. Mm-hmm. And people really like that button. But newly minted libertarians, people who haven't been libertarian or anarchist very long, anarcho-capitalist. Like, whenever they see that on Facebook or something, they start yelling at whoever posted it and said, libertarians don't believe in hate speech. It's a construct of the state. And you need to read Mises' book, blah, 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 page 468 through 492, paragraph 1. Like, Bible verses quoting.
I think it was actually David Friedman that they quote. But anyways.
Yeah, but yeah.
Correcting you.
Yeah, you're not going to be ruining liberty. The fiends orgies either, man.
Is it really any reason that one of the typical stereotypes of libertarian and anarchist is that there's Asperger's running rampant with the way people with the lack of sarcasm detectors in most people.
They're Vulcans, man. For libertarians are Vulcans, I think. I have good friends with Asperger's. I mean, Bill Buepert, of all people, says he has Asperger's. I don't believe it. Because what I know about Asperger's is people tend to be really introverted and not understand sarcasm. And Bill is dripping in sarcasm, an expert at it, and, you know, can understand. You know, he has the human empathy. He's not a robot.
Yeah, but it is, well, I mean, what I know about Asperger's and autism, I mean, I think I actually said this once before, my estranged wife, or whatever she is at the moment, actually worked in that field for a long time, so I got to see a lot of it and learn a lot about it, and it's quite a spectrum, because there's people, I mean, I've been told that I would be on the spectrum. So
I've been told that I'm on a bunch of spectrums, but I'm nowhere near the autism spectrum somehow. I'm more on the spectrum of like bipolar and probably an organized sociopath. But Asperger's people are afraid of me. They don't like me. They run away. I harm them. And I don't mean to, because they're sweet people, you know, some of them. So your wife said that your experience with him is what?
No, just that it's a very wide scale. So there are people that technically are on it, but seem like normal functioning human beings, actually have, you know, can exhibit some empathy.
I don't think of Asperger's people as people who can do public speaking well. Bill Buford commands a room, and he does public speaking stuff that's like 4 hours long, and it doesn't, like, at the end of it, there's more people than when he started. He's amazing at it. He mesmerizes, and he's really smart and well read, and can talk. You know,
Like I said, it's possible. I've seen it. It's spectrum.
Cantwell Googlin, or maybe it was Mark Edge Googlin, one of those parody accounts, recently Googled or tweeted Googlin. Which fiends are on the Asperger's spectrum or the autism spectrum?
Yeah,
that's funny.
Well, that would seem about, because, well, Bill said it. I think Lisa said that she's been told that she's on it too. Told so.
Neat. Yeah. You know. I'm not a Asperg. I'm ADD though. I'm ADD. Yeah. A little dyslexic.
And I thought I was ADD, and I told you that, and you said I'm not, right?
I don't think that's, I don't know if that's exactly what happened.
I'm really hyper.
I think that you're just overly hyper and you were misdiagnosed. I think that's what we ended up concluding after what you were talking about.
When I was a kid, they called me hyperactive in like seventh grade. Like the school nurse, I don't know if nurses can really diagnose that, but the nurse told my teacher and the teacher told my parents that I was hyperactive. And luckily, this was just before they started drugging kids for that. It was like 3 years before it, 4 years before it. So I didn't get drugged as a child for that, which is really bad for kids. Like, it's less bad for adults, but kids that age shouldn't be drugged like that. But
yeah, I don't have the hyperactive part of it. I just you'll talk to me and I'll just kind of like drift off, and I have to like mentally go, wait, someone's talking to me. What was that? And that's why a lot of times you'll see me like, wait, what was that? Like, I'll end up asking you what you just said right after you said it, because, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because you're talking to me about stuff, and then I'm like, oh, yeah.
It's a little circus music playing.
Wait a minute. Wait, were you sorry? Yeah.
Circus music's playing in your head the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. I got Calliope music always just constant loop in my head. Yeah.
A lot of looking and nodding, huh? Just, oh, yeah.
I got you. Yeah. But sometimes it works to my advantage. If someone's like lecturing me, I can just kind of go like, oh, yeah, nodding. And I can be, you know, thinking of a song in my head. Calliope music, of course. Calliope music versions of bomb songs. That's the only thing that plays in my head.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But interesting about ADD though, a lot of comedians actually are ADD, and that's kind of like, there's like a theory going around that's usually the best comedians usually have some form of ADD, because they're able to kind of concoct, kind of like add, I can't even think right now. I was just kind of, they can kind of create non sequiturs. That's the word I'm looking for. They can create like non sequiturs really well. And a lot of the non sequiturs.
Freemasons run the country.
Yeah. Are pretty much
the Republican Party is the Pacific Ocean. Sorry, go ahead.
See?
So speaking of, maybe you speaking are of the ADD. Ocean, speaking of the ocean, you had a story about Trump. What was it?
Oh, I guess Trump called. nice. Or I guess he was quoting someone else, but he says he agreed with it, that Ted Cruz is a puss puss kitty kitty in radio friendly terms.
Oh,
I think he should have called him a cuck. That's Larry.
A subby. It's subbilicious.
He calls somebody that on national news anywhere, and I think he's a slam dunk.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Nobody owns me. They're telling me what to do!
quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
So know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. But I just want to dispel this rumor that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. The Freedom Fiends know what they're doing.
Most of the time.
Yeah. So you didn't see the debate, I guess.
No. I try to avoid stuff like that.
There were some just actually good moments in it, especially if you don't like Trump. Trump really had a bad moment. And Rubio had a bad moment because he just wanted to keep insisting that wanted to dispel the rumor that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. And Chris Christie called him out on it. Chris Crisco. It was interesting. But I think the best part about it is the walkouts. And I know that this kind of is turned into a meme of itself. It's like, I can't remember who walked out first. And then they called Ted Carson to come out, and he just stands there just awkwardly. And everyone's just like, and you can see people in the back going like, go, go, go. And then other people are just coming out, like just standing next to him, like, do we go out? I mean, we don't know.
It's like a traffic jam now.
Yeah, the only person that had it together seemed like it was Jeb Bush, which is sad. Please clap.
Well, he's been bred into this, so he knows how to go through the motions.
But I just wanted to dispel the rumor that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. So
it's funny you bring up Carson. I almost feel bad for the. Like I said, I don't pay much attention to this stuff, but I almost feel bad for the guy because it's really like the only reason he's even on this is because of that speech he gave at that prayer breakfast a couple of years back. Where he stood directly next to him. Oh, that's where he came from. He gave a speech at, you know, they have the National Prayer Breakfast every year. You know, big deal over there in the Mortar on the Potomac. But it was a couple of years back, and he gave a speech standing next, like, because Obama was sitting in the first seat next to the podium, and he stood there next to him and gave this speech and basically trashed Obamacare as he was standing there. Like, you could see the look on Obama's face the entire time. Like, at first he thought it was a joke, and then he's like, wait a minute, this guy's not joking. Like, he's seriously bashing my signature program. And he became, you know, the Tea Party darling after that. It's like, oh my God, he stood. I mean, it was the stories about that were just, it was so, oh my gosh, he stood up to Obama and he stood right next to him and told him how it is. But the guy has, you know, he's a neurosurgeon. He doesn't have anything else. He had no other, I don't even think he had any political aspirations. He even said afterwards, I have no political aspirations, but people just kept talking to him and saying, oh, you could do this, you could do this. Now he just goes out there and looks like a deer in headlights and goes, I don't know. I mean, he is good for comedy relief.
What exactly I'm doing up here. I don't know why they thought it was a good idea for me to run for president. I just want to dispel this myth that Barack Obama knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Right. See, now that would make for a more entertaining debate if they all just went around and said that the whole time.
Yeah. Frankly. Or just have everybody just say frankly. Just have like a little counter at the bottom, like who says frankly the most, and then that's going to be who the new president is. And then, you know, we could just get, and then Trump will have his dream, and there'll be no election, and he'll just be made king of America and just fire everybody.
Hey, now he's going to make things great again. Let's, you know.
Yeah. The only thing he's making great right now is the Democrats. even if you look at the polls, Bernie Sanders loses to any one of the Republican debates, any one of the candidates, in a general election poll, except for Trump. He's the only one that can actually beat. Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah. So, and people kind of touted out like, oh, look, Bernie Sanders, he can actually, you know, beat a Republican. No, it's just that no one, like, it's you know, he can't win in a general election. That's what it means. It doesn't mean Bernie Sanders is electable. It's like, it's just that less people would vote for Ebola. So, yeah.
See, I don't know. I mean, I talked about this the other night. I had a conversation with Jeffrey Tucker and about the whole idea of
fascinating.
You know, exactly.
Did you have some wonderful McDonald's cheese sticks over it? It's fantastic. No, $3 for $1. I just can't wait to go get some porridge.
Oh my God! It's like I'm talking to Jeffrey all over again.
We'll be back after the free market, which is a wonderful, fascinating idea. But I just really want to dispel this rumor that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. Worms. Worms.
I'm crying now.
I like Jeffrey Tucker, by the way. I need to say that.
I do too, but that was was a brilliant impression. Oh.
McRibs are back.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. RATS is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. RATS was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. RATS is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download RATS free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
You got the intro?
Okay. I think I got it.
Because I don't have the intro.
We have the intro. We're back. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse for anyone by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we're back.
Yeah. And Barack Obama's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
Yes, and Bernie Sanders is a liar, a socialist, and he smells like tinkle.
Yeah, and Marco Rubio is a liar, a socialist, and a robot.
And apparently a stripper, from what I hear, too.
Oh, yeah, he loves those foam parties. But, you know, if you go to a foam party, you're going to be quick to tell everyone that, you know, you need to dispel this rumor that Barack Obama knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Well, that's the only reason he was there, so he needed to let everybody know that.
he had to let everybody know that Barack Obama knows what he's doing. So,
yeah.
So you were talking about Jeffrey Tucker before we went to break.
Yes.
So who is Jeffrey Tucker, and why should I care?
Jeffrey Tucker is a very charming individual. That's how I describe him. He's a... I don't know. He's been around the movement for quite a while now, I guess. He does a whole bunch of things. He's got the liberty.me social media blog site, whatever it is. I think he's hooked up with the with Fee, the what is that? The Foundation for Economic Education now. You know, he gives speeches. He's best known for wearing his bow tie and drinking bourbon for breakfast, and talking about
and McDonald's
and McDonald's. Yes, and talking about his love of very mundane things.
Yeah. It's a testament of the free market that you can get wine. You can get wonderful brands of wine for under $3 a bottle. And people think that all the expensive wine is so wonderful and great. It's not. And I love jug wine, and I drink jug wine all the time. And I try to bring it in at McDonald's, but they just won't let me. And I really try it, and I don't understand why they won't let me do it. But, you know, in a more free world, we'd be allowed to have bourbon for breakfast at McDonald's. Fascinating.
Yes, and they might even serve it to you. You know, have a self-serve station. That would be beautiful, right, Jeffrey?
Yeah. Oh, fantastic! It's a testament to the free market that Marco Rubio can remind us that Barack Obama knows what he's doing. He just wants to dispel this rumor that he doesn't know what he's doing, but he does know what he's doing.
Well, Thank you, Mark. Thank Marco for that, because otherwise we would all be completely clueless as to what exactly Barack Obama is doing. But now we know that he does know what he's doing. So
yeah,
now that we know that he knows, maybe things will get better. I don't know.
And hopefully more people end up eating McDonald's.
One could only hope. Now, see, I wonder. Now, is it possible that the restriction on jug wine at McDonald's is just because of the glass? I wonder if he's ever tried box wine. Maybe they'd allow box wine at McDonald's.
Yeah, because you kind of run into that problem.
Bean phone.
You kind of run into that problem where, you know, you could break the bottle and use it as a weapon. I think that's their concern. Yeah.
But Furries, the Fiend Phone, unnecessary re-education, interruption, exigency service. I'm why people can't have nice things. There used to be this movie theater, repertoire theater in San Francisco in the Mission District on 24th and, Folsom. And you could bring wine.
Fascinating.
You could bring wine. They let you bring wine in a sack. And I went in there one time to watch some old French New Wave films with this girl, and I was like, I do not get these films. They are not, I'm not a filmy guy, so I'm not very filmy. So I drank my wine, and when it was done, I threw the bottle through the screen and broke the screen, and they threw me out. That's what I used to be like. Like, people are always like, oh, you're such a puss, you don't drink. Dude, if you want, I drinking is why people can't have nice things in the libertarian paradise of San Francisco. And I'm just over here having sex with Madeleine Albright and Hillary Clinton. If you guys want to come over, bring some wine. You'll need it.
I'm gonna need a lot of wine.
Why is Madeleine Albright in the news? Like, that's like
she's
a ghost from my childhood.
Because women
man.
Need to stick together. We need to stick together, otherwise you're going to hell.
Well, I'm gonna post all of Jim's flagatory flags in the show notes tonight. I know that. Okay.
Didn't I see something about her claiming that women who didn't vote for Hillary were like anti-woman or something? Some
yeah,
crazy
they're,
thing.
They're gonna have a special place in hell. Yeah.
Oh, that's what.
Worse
was,
than
yes.
white beaters.
Yeah. Yeah, women who don't help each other. Wives. Yeah, or basically anyone who doesn't vote for Hillary is going to a special
segue.
Special place.
We're
going to
talk about the Super Bowl. We're going to play armchair quarterback, Monday night quarterback. And there's a rumor that the Super Bowl is the day that has the most domestic abuse of women. It is not. That is something that somebody made up in the 70s, and people have been repeating it like fact ever since. It's actually probably Christmas. It's probably the day more people got women, children, men, dogs. Yeah. You know, I was in the emergency room once on Thanksgiving in San Francisco. I cut my hand preparing a turkey at a friend's house and had to go get it sewn up. And I took the bus there. That's how it's San Francisco. You know, you can't afford health anything. So you take the bus to the ER, bleeding, wrapped in a shirt. And I got there. And it was like 2 p.m, and it was empty. I was in and out of there in an hour, sewn up and on painkillers and ready to go cook more turkeys.
And it's a wonderful test of the free market that you can get wonderful health care so quickly.
It's a shame that this was a Catholic homeless person hospital run by Catholics. And Tucker is a Catholic.
A Catholic.
Well, he hangs out with the Pope. You know, if the Pope blesses your $3 wine, it's as good as $500 wine. So, but I had Jesus
in my mouth yesterday. It was fun.
I asked the McDonald's. You know, there's a new. Oh, let me finish the story. So I asked the guy, like the doctor, sewing me up. I'm like, there's nobody here. I thought I'd be waiting for hours. It's a holiday. And he's like, oh, it's like this every Thanksgiving. It's completely empty until 5 or 6 o'clock, and they were inundated with people who are drunk and have blunt head force trauma. And I'm like, I'm picturing that. I'm picturing like Thanksgiving, people who should not meet, who are related to each other, meeting once a year and drinking, and it ends in blunt head force trauma. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense, though. When you started to say that, I was like, 2 o'clock, it's way too early. I actually dealt with that. I dealt with that in the vet industry when I was working in the animal hospitals. It's the same thing. Usually, it would be dead all day until about 6, 7 o'clock, and then we'd get dogs getting rolled in with food poisoning.
Burnt hair.
Exactly.
Were
household
people
accidents.
Harming them intentionally? Or like
no. Just caught on fire. No. The most common thing was dogs getting in into the garbage bag when nobody, when everybody was sitting around the table having dessert and pulling apart the carcass and ending up with like turkey choking bones in their stomach. Yeah, and, yeah, exactly. Right. So,
so Super Bowl.
I wanted to watch it. I'm not one of these people who, like, these elitists who are like, oh, you have to like my type of entertainment, otherwise you're just sheeple. Oh,
I didn't know,
like,
there
it's
was
all
a Super
a distraction.
Bowl. You guys want to talk about it. I was like, there was a Super Bowl? And I was serious. Like, and I'm not saying, like, I'm elite and better than the proletariat who watch football. I've never liked sports, man. I don't know what it is, really. I don't know what season it is. The only reason I know what season it is for is sometimes I know when it's baseball season because they preempt us on the local radio station for that. That and NASCAR and rodeo, which pretty much means we're on about five times a year.
I mean, turn left
in Wyoming.
You get turn left, turn. And then hand egg, and what was the other one? I forget what baseball was. But I can't.
Hey, Better Call Saul is starting up a week from tonight.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. I don't care about the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say about the Super Bowl type thing going on. Like, people always get upset, like, oh, it's a distraction from the state to get you to not pay attention to the, you know, pay attention to what's going on in the world. You know, they're poisoning our water, blah, blah, blah. But then, like, in the next post, they'll talk about, like, oh, isn't all the great apolitical stuff on Amazon Prime and Netflix wonderful? Like, you just spend, like, the next 3 months watching nothing but that. It's like, pick one. Yeah, I can't stand this kind of elitism. Like, oh, just let people enjoy things. You know, just let people enjoy things. People like Coldplay and Beyonce. Let them enjoy that. Okay, you go and listen to your crappy Dream Theater. Okay, just let people enjoy their crappy Beyonce and Coldplay. Is that so much to ask? Okay,
people like Coldplay and voting for the Nazis.
Exactly.
People are stupid. Well,
I mean, I used to be a huge sports fan, but then I kind of came to the realization, at least for me, it's way too much like nationalism now that I look
There's
at it.
There's a lot of nationalism at games, though.
Like, well, that's
I actually
that's the reason.
Really like, I, the only event I like that's not music that has a bunch of people at it is rodeo. I went, ironically, the first time I moved to Wyoming, and I was like, I love this. I would come back to this a couple times a year, except you have to say a Pledge of Allegiance. You have to worship the flag. You have to support the troops. I can't fake it that much, man. All that stuff is just, that stuff is to distract you and get you to co-sign murder and theft and fraud and aggression. I won't do it, man. I won't do it. Yeah.
So what you'd need to do is go to a hockey game, because hockey, they do the Canadian and American ones.
Yeah.
And they're not going to notice that you're like, oh, you didn't stand up for the American one. You must be a Canadian. Oh, you didn't stand up for the American one. You must be a
Where's the Anarchist Rodeo? That's what I want. Is that a show title? And then we'll use this picture you sent me of the McRib. isn't there something called the McRib that's like a Middle Eastern, like, something with politics?
I don't know.
It's like they're
I know what the McRib is. I love the McRib.
But what's
the reason I go to McDonald's? The McRib?
No, McRib prayer. It's a prayer in Islam. So it's not the McRib. It's the M-A-G-H-R-I-B.
Do you think that's why they hate us so much?
It's the prayer. Because it's the sunset prayer. It's, you know, when they sing and call you to prayer. It's the McRib.
Yeah, right.
They're having McRibs. The Muslims are.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
But too soon. They make a pork sandwich out of it and name it after their sunset prayer. Maybe they don't hate Britney Spears and Coca-Cola after all. It's just McDonald's.
Well, maybe that's why this Catholic likes it, because it's like a pig product named after a Muslim prayer.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what are the Catholics other than the people? I mean, you know, think about what happened all through the Middle Ages with the Catholics and the Muslims. I mean, it was, you know, I mean, it's kind of still going on, isn't it? Wouldn't you say that, like, ISIS is fighting the Crusades in a way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The joke about them is they've always been centuries behind, so maybe they still are. Maybe to them it still is the Crusades. Who knows?
Maybe. There's a line in that movie Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. There's a really unfunny situation in it where somebody is captured by the Taliban or something, but somebody's joking about it. And they're like, yeah, my friend's been kidnapped by medieval heroin dealers.
I just want to dispel this rumor that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Good radio. Good radio.
Freedom Fiends. so much truth, it hurts.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
MK Lord's strong. The Hateful Eight is great.
Now that we've got that cleared up.
Now we have that cleared up. We can get back to what we were originally saying, that we need to dispel this rumor that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Yes.
He's trying to get McDonald's, he's trying to get more McDonald's open.
He wants the McRib around 20. He wants the McRib around 365 days a year, and I agree with him.
I'd probably start eating at McDonald's again if they brought back the McRib. Yeah.
I can actually say I don't think I've ever actually eaten a McRib.
You're missing out.
I don't know what I'm missing.
it's always so easy to bash McDonald's and just go, oh, it's terrible and all that stuff. And then when you go there, you're like, oh yeah, Big Mac actually is kind of good. Oh yeah, the cheeseburgers, they're kind of good. All right, they're not so bad. And then like. Then you're like, oh, yeah, other things are better, whatever. And then they'll go away, and then you'll realize, like, oh, yeah, it's terrible. Everything there is terrible. And then it's like that same loop again. You try it one more time. it's like an abusive relationship, isn't it?
It really is. I've tried to quit plenty of times, and then I'm good for a while, and I get sucked in by the simple stuff. Like one day I'll be really hungry, and I'll pass a McDonald's, and I'll go, oh, just one McDouble won't hurt. And then like 4 later, I'm like, okay, this was a one time deal. And then
wait, they have mozzarella sticks now?
Yes.
Okay. I'll get a couple of those.
Just gotta try it just once.
Yeah,
it's
like, you know, just once.
Yeah, I mean,
the
okay.
Next thing you know, it's like, oh, I gotta have a McPick every day. Every day.
Yeah. Yes, it's horrible for you. Yes, people shouldn't eat it, but it's delicious. And you know, well, I think they bake it with crack, so that's probably
speaking,
why.
Speaking of baking stuff with crack, they had opened up a White Castle in Las Vegas. It's the only one this side of the Mississippi, and my life has been forever changed for the better because I now have access to real White Castle, not the frozen real White Castle. And so my
belly bombers.
Yeah. I don't get that effect. I don't get the cleansing effect, so to speak. nothing's physically removed from my body. I don't get that. Like a lot of people do. I don't. Everybody complains.
I don't either.
Like, yeah, they're sliders for a reason. They haven't slid through me, so I don't. Maybe I'm eating them wrong.
You're not eating enough of them.
Yeah, all this talk now. I think I'm gonna head down to the strip after.
After this. All right, I'll keep going. You go get some White Castle.
I'll mail you some.
There you go. Well, see, we actually have White Castle around here. Although I grew up without it, so I didn't know the wonders of White Castle until I moved up here to New York. Because they don't even, I don't even think they've been thought of in Pennsylvania. At least not where I was from, but. They are a beautiful thing. Although I must say, I have eaten more than enough of those frozen ones. And yeah, you're right. They're not the same.
Yeah. But that's what I was familiar with. I'm from California originally. So they didn't have, never had those. And then I moved to Kansas and I was like, oh, yeah. They like for a couple of years. And then I was like, oh, yeah. Didn't they start here? Surely there's a White Castle here. No. Really? They started in Wichita, but then they moved out. The closest one to that was St. Louis. And so. I had organized a trip with my girlfriend and her friend to go picket Scientology, but the real reason why I wanted to go wasn't to picket Scientology so much, but it was to eat at White Castle, finally, for the first time. Actually, eat at a White Castle. And I was just like, a menu of cheese. I was like, I just want to try everything you got because I'm probably not going to see this for a while. And we ate White Castle all the way home, so.
Nice.
That was a trip. Yeah.
See, I don't think I've. Well, I mean, at least you had a secondary reason because I was gonna say I don't think I've ever traveled for food for fast food. I have made the long journey to Philly for an actual cheesesteak on many of occasion. because I missed that terribly when I moved up here. And I've organized just like last minute trips. Hey, anybody want to go to Philly for a minute? We'll be back in 4 hours. It's fine. But yeah.
So which one then? Which cheesesteak?
I'm actually I am not a purist. I will eat at a couple of the places down there. I think who was it? Was it Max's is the one? Was it Max and or no Gino's and I forget what are the names down there. I haven't been down there.
There's a Gino's and something else, but
yeah, the two of them that are right across the street from each other. I'm not picky. I'll go to either one. It depends.
It's almost like a Bushmills and Jameson type of thing. Like, you know, if you drink one, you're gonna die. by the other religion.
It was really always a matter of which line was longer, because depending on the day you go down there, the lines will be wrapped around the buildings, so it's a matter of how long you actually want to stand there. Actually, the last time I was there, I went and got a cheesesteak directly after running in the Philly Marathon, so that was my treat to myself.
Yeah. It's like you almost killed yourself. Grease. Have some more grease.
Hey, you got to replenish somehow.
The pizza in New York's overrated. Let me just say that.
Oh, those are fighting words, man. We'll have to talk about that when we get back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
So I was saying at the end, I think it was just a tease though, because I really don't really hate New York style pizza. There's like a couple of New York style pizza places out here that I really like, but it's Round Table's my joint. It just is. It always will be. And every time I try a new place, I'm like, yeah, it's good. But, you know, Round Table is where it's at for me. And that's a chain thing. And I've had people who have been to – I've heard of people who have been to New York and really enjoy the pizza and come back here and say, oh, yeah, the pizza's pretty much the same. And you know, I've tried them and I liked them, but it's not the best style of pizza by far. And just saying those words to anyone from the tri-state area, them's fighting words.
Yes,
absolute fighting words.
This is I can confirm. Being somebody who spent pretty much my entire life in the tri-state area, I can confirm this. Although we were talking during the break, and I'm actually one of the people that would agree with you. I'm more of a Chicago style guy, although I do like my New York pizza. Maybe it's just the New York taste buds, because I know what you're saying, because I've heard other people say the same thing. Oh, I've tried it there, and then I come back, and it's not really different. But I've gone to other places. Well, yeah, but maybe it's just the taste buds that we've adapted here, because I've gone other places and tried things where people have tried to import the water, and it just tastes right to me or whatever, but I don't know. Yes, New Yorkers like to be proud of as many things as possible, whether they actually deserve the credit or not. So,
yeah. But the only thing I really, what I hear, the biggest complaints I hear is the pizza isn't that good, the bagels suck, and you ain't got no culture. But most of the people who tell me that I ain't got no culture has probably never even like stepped foot on Broadway unless they were walking somewhere else. Like, oh really? Where's your tickets to, you know, have you ever even looked inside Carnegie Hall? Have you even seen the opera houses or anything? No. Stop.
They know where the theater district is. They haven't actually stepped into it, but they know they can tell you where it is. They could show you that.
I didn't see the Book of Mormon, but you ain't got no culture. It's like, you're not going to take the time to watch that, right?
Yeah.
Like Vinny and Guido, the only thing that they've ever seen with culture came from the AMC movie theater. Okay. So I don't want to hear that. But yeah, but it's always the pizza and the bagels for some reason. Like, you guys can't make a pizza out of here. It's like, no, we just don't try to make your style of pizza.
Yeah.
That's what it is, you know.
That's the fascism that is New York. Everything must be the New York way, or it's no good.
Yeah.
Which actually explains Trump really well, you know, and his affinity for fascism. Which he's trying to make fun again, I believe. I think that's his tagline, isn't it?
We're gonna make America fash again. But I'm from California. We kind of have the same thing going on with Mexican food, which is weird because it's not Mexico. But if you leave California or Arizona or Nevada, maybe some parts of New Mexico, like Mexican food starts getting bad. And it's not because they don't know how to make it or they're doing it wrong. It's just a different style of Mexican food. So like there's Baja style Mexican food, which has a lot of seafood type stuff. They have a lot of like lime and seasonings and peppers and sort of things. So it's like its own type of Mexican food. And then you have like the stuff that comes out of the East Coast. And so when people say like there's no good Mexican food, what they're really saying is there's no Mexican food that I'm used to. And I didn't know about this at all. I just thought that, oh, when I was in Kansas, I was like, there's just no good Mexican food. Well, no, there is. You just have to look for Baja style. And I couldn't really find it. I found one place that was actually fairly decent. But once I knew that distinction, there was a difference. But it's not because you're in a different place. It's not because there's not the right water or anything like that. It's just, you know, just a cultural type thing. But if someone's making New York style pizza, it's very possible for them to make it right. It is very possible.
No, it's true. I've had ones before that come, I guess, close. But yeah, it's funny. It's like a confirmation bias for your taste buds. People are just like, no, it's not the same. I've never been that picky. I'm one of those people. I'll eat. It's actually easier for me to list the foods I won't eat versus the food that I will. I've only come across, I think, maybe 5 foods in my life that I've tried and just like, nope, can't do it. Not me. So I'll try anything. I'm always the person, if I do travel anywhere and people are looking for food, I'm like, I'll be the tester. Let's go find something. I'll try it. Why not? Cause that's how I found some of my favorite meals, is just going places and trying stuff that people are like, hey, try this. Okay.
Yeah, I'm always the one that goes to the sushi bar and like weirds everybody out. It's like, why are you getting uni and squid and octopus to just eat the regular stuff? Like, no, that's the best stuff. The weirder the things are, usually sometimes are the better. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes. Yeah. Kimchi is amazing. If you actually heard how they make kimchi, you're gonna be like, that's awful. Kimchi. Or chorizo, same thing.
See, it's funny. I just recently got into kimchi, and I love it.
Oh yeah, I love kimchi. It's amazing.
But
don't read how they make it.
Well, I think that could be applied to most foods these days.
Yeah.
Don't pay attention to how it's processed or how they do any of the things. Just eat it.
Yeah, you know. And it's great. I love kimchi. I've been on like the Soon tofu type stew for a while. I don't know if you've heard about this. Soon tofu. Everybody hates tofu. Like, as soon as you hear the word tofu, it's like, oh, vegetarian, gross stuff. Like, no. Soon tofu is like totally different. You make a stew and it's got meat and all sorts like seafood or whatever you want in it. And then they also put tofu in it and it absorbs all the flavor. But people think like tofu and they think like, oh, it's just a meat alternative, and it's not. It's really not. And it's like some of my favorite foods is like miso, which has tofu in it, and Soon tofu stew, which is great. But I'm one of those people that's like, oh, I'll try it. Whatever, I'll try it. And for the most part, most of it's really good.
Exactly.
Really good, yeah. But there is one thing I won't do, and that's Rocky Mountain oysters. That's like the one thing that I refuse to try. I'll even eat all those bugs, whatever. Just that's my line.
I have not tried those type of oysters yet either, although I'd like to say that I definitely wouldn't, but if you put enough drinks in me, I can't say that I wouldn't try them just to say that I had. I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
not high on my list of things to do, but, you know, if I happen to be up in a place and, you know, somebody plies me with enough alcohol, I'll probably try it. Why not? You only live once. I don't know. I mean, for me, it's gotten even more so with my kids, because I'm constantly trying to tell, you know, when they tell me they don't want to eat something, I channel my grandmother. You don't hate it. You haven't learned to like it yet. Like, that's what I was told my whole life when I would say I would hate something. That would be my grandmother. You don't hate anything. You just haven't learned to like it yet. And darn it, she was right about just about everything. Because all the things I claimed I hated when I was a kid, I'll now eat happily.
Yeah. Like I'll try everything. But there's a lot of foods that I know I don't like. But every once in a while, I'll try them again just to see if I don't like
them. Well, yeah. They say your taste buds change every 7 years or so. So it doesn't hurt.
Like, I used to hate avocado. Like I could eat guacamole, but I could not like eat just an avocado with salt on it. But everybody loves doing that in my family. And I used to be like, that's so gross. And I used to try it and like, nope, still don't like it. And it probably was only maybe 2 years ago that I'm like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. So
it is a wonderful little snack, isn't it?
Lima beans, can't dig it. Can't dig it. Can't dig it.
See,
can't dig it.
That's one of those things I hated as a kid, and now I'll eat them. But the avocado thing, I actually found that a couple of years ago, too. And I've always liked avocados. I've just never, I mean, I'd had them on sliced on stuff. But the first time somebody told me about eating it with a spoon, just like that, with some salt, I was like, that's interesting. And it worked really well when I went paleo, because those were my snacks. I would just carry a couple avocados in my car with me all day and just eat those.
Yeah.
I'm curious about the tofu thing, though, because I've never, like, I like miso. But I've never really eaten tofu. So, like, but you're saying you can, like, because I just, like what you said, I assumed that it was just a meat substitute. But you're saying that people actually put this together with meat?
Yeah, there's, I'm sure if you live in New York, there are Korean tofu houses. And you must go and try it. I forget what it's called. It's like donjungi or something like that. But
I'll try
it. It's a Korean stew. And you can choose whatever meat you want. And they give it to you in this clay pot. And it's one of those kind of fajita things where they bring it out to you. It's still boiling.
Nice.
And it's and then they drop an egg in it, and then they put the lid on, and then you like eat some stuff while it kind of cools down, and then you start eating around it with some rice and some other stuff, and you know there's meat stuff in it. You know, it's not vegetarian like health food. It's really not. You know, and there's an egg in it. But
Sounds yummy.
It's really good. And that tofu kind of sucks up everything, and you just get some free protein out of it, and it's really soft. So it's kind of like, I don't know how to describe it.
it's really
interesting texture.
Next time I decide to venture into the city, I'll have to track one of those places down.
Yeah. And it was one of those things, like, I was working for someone, and they were like, oh, let's go to get some tofu. I'm like, what? Tofu? Are you crazy? I'm like, no, trust me. I was like, no, I'll try it. Like, I'll try anything. I'm one of those people. I'll try it. If you say it's good, if it's not good, you're footing the bill. But but if I like it, yeah. And then I just fell in love. And we used to go there all the time. And
nice.
Yeah, I'm all about it. Now I'm making it myself, which is, I got my own little clay pot that I cook it in and everything. And
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
definitely recommend tofu. Don't just hate on tofu because you've seen hot dogs made out of it. Come on, man. There actually is some good applications for it. Trust me.
Yeah. I would have to agree with that, because it's funny you said about the vegetarian thing too, because again, that used to be my mindset. People would be like, vegetarian, be like, oh, what? I like meat, darn it. I don't need this veggie junk. But then when I actually sat down and tried it, you know, I think I actually started with Thai food. I got some of their vegetarian dishes, and I'm like, wow, this is really delicious. And then I went somewhere else. I'm like, let me try your vegetarian dish. I'm like, okay, this is good. So I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of vegetarian stuff. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good stuff. I think most people just, like I said, it's like almost a confirmation bias for your palate, and you decide you don't want to try anything new, or you hear something and you just get it stuck in your head, and it's like, well, that it's this way, so I'm not going to do it. And have you ever tried it? Well, no, but so-and-so told me it's this way. So.
Yeah, but people love avocado and what is it? Not avocado, spinach and
artichoke
heart stuff. Like anything, like, you know, calzone with it in there or the dips. Mm-hmm. But if you just say, like, oh, we're going to get some artichoke hearts and spinach, everyone's going to be like, that's disgusting. Oh, it's in a dip? Sign me up. But it's kind of the same thing. It's like, yeah, normally they're not that great. But if you have it, like, in certain ways, they can be good. And tofu is no different. Tofu, especially in Japanese and Korean stuff.
Yes.
And if you try to get it as a meat substitute, that's when it's... I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Soy riso, no. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. But actually, I lied. So soy riso is actually not bad. That's like one of the other things. But the hot dogs are terrible.
Yeah, so. Anytime you try to make a substitute meat, I think it's just going to go horribly wrong. But, you know, if you're doing it with the intention of just having it be good food, then sure.
But I just do want to say that I'm going to dispel the myth that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's listening to the fiends and hating us. And hating us.
Writing out an order for a drone strike.
How come they're even on the radio?
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Squisgar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
So I stumbled across this wonderful article. Of course, it's on Facebook. I think it's important that we have to do a little bit of Super Bowl bait, right? Because everybody's kind of high, still kind of trying to keep the high of the Super Bowl going. I didn't watch it just because I wanted to sleep because I had work that night. I tried watching it, but I was like, no, I'm too tired. A Super Bowl halftime show marred by functioning sound system. Santa Clara, California, disappointing the thousands of fans in the attendance, as well as an estimated 100 million viewers watching at home. The Super Bowl 50 halftime show was marred Sunday by the stadium's functioning sound system, sources confirmed. Quote, right from the beginning, the sound system was working, and unfortunately, I could hear the singing, said 29-year-old spectator Joe Kessler. I know that name. Adding that the show's audio feed, which was amplified throughout the stadium and transmitted to the television broadcast with no technical issues, made the performances by Beyonce, Coldplay, and Bruno Mars completely unbearable. There was definitely nothing wrong with the speakers or the microphones. It's a shame because the perfect sound quality just ruined the whole thing, Kessler added, in hopes that the Super Bowl organizers would learn from the incident to avoid similar disasters next year.
Yeah. Wow. That is a shame. So many people had to be tortured with that.
Yeah. See, I could deal with Coldplay. Coldplay is one of those bands where I could just ignore. Same with Beyonce, but Bruno Mars just, he hits that nerve for me. So I'm glad I missed that part, at least. I missed that part.
Let people enjoy things,
I guess.
Of course. Well, I mean, I make fun of Coldplay all the time, but I probably couldn't even name any of their songs. I just jumped on that bandwagon, you know. I kind of lumped them in with, like, Nickelback and everybody else that I can't stand and don't have any interest in listening to.
Yeah, they kind of have that thing where it's like every song sounds like the same song.
Yeah.
Ad nauseum.
Yeah.
But this is coming from someone who listens to Vaporwave. So, I mean, take it as you will.
Yeah, well, I'm not one to talk. I'm a huge parrot head. So, you know, I've actually followed Jimmy Buffett around the country. I'm sure. Okay. I don't think I could be. I don't think I could be considered a music aficionado. So, that's okay.
Yeah. Well, actually, I could because my extensive, wonderful vinyl collection. I don't know if you've seen it. It's wonderful, and people just don't understand music like I do because you don't even own a record player. I mean, in fact, I bet you even call it a record player. It's a turntable. So, bunch of nibs.
I lost my record player in a boating accident. It was a horrible thing.
It's a turntable, you child.
Sorry, Jeffrey. That's
the record
right.
player. I don't think Jeffrey Tucker is that pretentious. Sorry. But I am. You don't know what you're doing unless you put it on vinyl.
this is true. I miss those days.
So you used to travel the country?
Yeah. Well, I just traveled to follow Buffett around a little bit. Okay. Because you know, I was too young for touring with the Dead, so I had to take what I could. I don't know. For me, it was fun. I love a good party, and every one of his shows is a good party. So,
well, you do have good audio. You sure you weren't doing it for the Dead at least a little bit? Doing what is that thing they call where they have those microphones and they record Dead concerts?
Oh, I don't remember. I know what you're joking about. I don't remember the name though.
I'm waiting for furries to bust in and tell me what it is. Come on, Michael. What is it? You know it.
No. he's busy watching cat videos and trying to concoct new plans of attack on Cantwell. So.
Yeah. Well, he was a punk rocker. I was not a punk rocker, but I did go to punk shows, and it was only because ska and punk kind of like toured together. You used to do shows together, and I was a rude boy, so I used to go to shows in a suit and tie, black suit, black tie, white shirt. Kangol hat, sometimes a derby hat, with the big Operation Ivy patch on my back of my suit. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That's just I don't know. See, that's why I prefer the Buffett thing, because there's no dress code. Just show up.
No, yeah, there is. You got to wear the Aloha shirt.
Well, actually, that's not true. If you're a guy, it's almost a prerequisite to wear a coconut bra, which I have done on numerous occasions. But that's okay. That's a dress code I can live with.
Okay. I'm going to stick with my suit and ties for my dead music genre.
It's not dead. It's just in hibernation. Everything comes full circle eventually.
Yeah. Waiting for
this has been fun, Jim.
Yep, indeed.
I don't think I've ever had this much fun talking about tofu, so rock on.
Wii U, killer tofu.
Worms.
And the McRib is back. Absolutely. It's fantastic. Worms.